488 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Hunt for Wolverine Spotlight episode, and today I'm going to be talking about the final issue in the Hunt for Wolverine event, I guess you'd call it. You know, it wasn't all in one book, and it wasn't quite what we expected it to be. We didn't actually get the return of Wolverine. We found out after the Hunt for Wolverine event started that there was going to be a return of the Wolverine miniseries coming out later in the year. It starts this month, actually. I think September has the first issue, and it's going to run for 5 issues monthly. So the Hunt for Wolverine, those four issue miniseries didn't really advance the story that much. So we had a one-shot to start, and we had the 4 miniseries, and now we're having a one-shot to conclude. And just like the first one-shot, this one's also written by Charles Soule. The art is by Ramon Rosanes. The colors are by Guru EFX, and the letters are by Joe Sabino. So I hope that you've all been following along with the Hunt for Wolverine Spotlight episodes we've been playing every Tuesday. But for those that haven't, for those that this might be new, I'll give a quick synopsis by reading the couple of sentences here inside the front cover that Marvel put. Basically, Wolverine died, entombed in molten adamantium. The X-Men took his metal-encased body and hid it away, keeping its location a secret. But nothing stays buried. It was only a matter of time. As teams of X-Men, Avengers, and other investigators search for Wolverine's body, the clues begin to pile up, and the moment has come to put them together. So we saw in the Hunt for Wolverine one-shot that kicked it off that someone had taken Wolverine's body. It wasn't where they thought it was. And Kitty Pryde went to Daredevil and asked him to investigate. She went to Tony Stark and asked him to investigate. Both of those heroes took it upon themselves to build a team that they thought would best be suited to help them find out what might have happened to Wolverine. And so the Daredevil team was, their story was told in the Weapon Lost 4-issue miniseries. The Tony Stark team was told in the Adamantium Agenda. We also had a team of villains, so to speak. I mean, Sabretooth's kind of been straddling the line. Dakin kind of straddles the line. Lady Deathstrike, pretty much a bad guy 99% of the time, but those three took it upon themselves to go hunting for Wolverine's body as well. Go looking for Wolverine with the intent of, if they found him alive, each of them has their own reasons for wanting him dead. They weren't too happy that they weren't the ones to kill him the first time around, so they were hoping to find him to kind of exact their revenge. And then so that was the Claws of the Killer series with Dakin, Sabretooth, and Lady Deathstrike. And then we had the X-Men ladies themselves hunting for Wolverine in Madripoor with Kitty Pryde and Storm and Domino. Rogue was there, Jubilee, and I think that was it. Oh, and Psylocke. Can't forget Psylocke. And so now that all those series have ended, as the synopsis said, it's time to kind of put the clues together of what people found, because none of them technically found Wolverine. So this story starts off, it's in New York City. Tony Stark's navigating his motorcycle through traffic, heading for the X-Men headquarters. He noticed Daredevil along the way, heading for Central Park as well. So they're both greeted at the door by Kitty, and they basically head into a PowerPoint presentation that Kitty's going to give that kind of sums up what each of the individual investigations found. Along the way, they do run into Betsy Braddock, who is back in her original Caucasian form. We saw that in the final issue of the Mystery of Madripoor series. And she doesn't seem to be in too good a shape. She's still kind of dealing with that whole big change of body, so to speak. So as far as what they find, so the PowerPoint starts off and it's basically four pictures. There's one of a space shuttle, there's one of DNA, there's one of zombies, and there's one of Wolverine himself. So they kind of, in a way, represent each of the four series. The space picture showing or representing the Mystery in Madripoor series, how they Viper was launching space vehicles or satellites or some kind of rockets of some sort on behalf of Sotira, the sort of evil corporation, if you will, that's been at the heart of this all the series really so far. And then the DNA, of course, representing the Adamantium Agenda series, where Iron Man, Spider-Man, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones discovered that Mr. Sinister had basically a database of the DNA of every person on the planet, superheroes included. And then, of course, the zombies representing the Claws of the Killer series, where the villains that I spoke about earlier were in a small town in Arizona that apparently was overrun with zombies and their healing factors weren't working. And then, of course, the picture that shows Wolverine himself would be representative of the Weapon Lost series, where Daredevil, Frank McGee, Cypher, and Misty Knight came across some footage that they actually stole from the Sotira Corporation, showing that Wolverine was indeed alive and basically was working for them. So, as Kitty said, those are the pieces, and now it's got to be put together. So Tony Stark's like, okay, so the image of Logan's kind of self-explanatory, and the DNA helixes refer to the genetic database I found, but space, and is that a zombie? And Kitty's like, yeah, it's a zombie. She explains the, as far as space goes, you know, it's referencing her team that she took to Madripoor and finding out about the unusually high number of space launches, and all by the same company, Sotira. And she's like, they put a ton of stuff in orbit and they don't really know why. They've been trying to figure it out. They've been accessing orbital tracking networks and searching for something like a construction site up there. But, you know, space is big and they haven't been able to find anything just yet. Then she lets Tony talk about what he found as far as the database. And then Wolverine talks about finding their team, what their team found, and knowing that Wolverine is alive, but being extremely worried about what the footage showed him doing, which was basically, to sum it up in one word, as Daredevil does, when Tony asks him, well, what's he doing? Daredevil's response is evil. So Kitty then explains about the zombies and how the Dakin supposedly didn't surprise or survive the encounter, and how their healing factors didn't work. And the one thing that ties it all together is Sotira. And she shows on the screen a diagram with a lot of different clues, and they're all linked together to that corporation. So who is the corporation? What it might be up to is basically what they need to work out next. But before they can, Daredevil detects that something is falling from the sky. And once they get eyes on, they realize how much trouble they're really in, right? They're basically these rods that are dropping from extremely high up. There's no like moving parts, there's no engines or anything. It's a kinetic weapon made of something strong enough to survive reentry. So you basically drop them from high enough in orbit and gravity does the rest. It's kind of like the low-tech nukes. So Kitty orders evacuation. Everybody gets to safety. The flyers get up there and see what they can do. And meanwhile, start evacuating the city, which, you know, at this point, it's kind of far too little, far too late. So although there are a lot of X-Men here, apparently only a couple of flyers. We see Firestar, we see Storm, and we see Iron Man, obviously. And the problem being that there are only three of them, and there are four objects which are falling extremely fast. So the plan is for each of them to take one of the rods, and whoever finishes first will take the last one. So Storm uses her powers to cool off her rod and slow it down by using the wind. Firestar is basically cutting hers into much smaller pieces and then vaporizing those pieces. Iron Man is physically grabbing his, and he's attaching inertial dampeners to it that should be able to bleed off the rod's velocity no problem, which leaves him free to take care of the fourth. But unfortunately, the fourth has already passed him, and it's going so fast that he's not going to be able to catch up to it. So Kitty and Nightcrawler are at ground zero, and Kitty orders Nightcrawler to leave, but he doesn't want to leave without her, but she orders him to, saying that if you try to teleport me out of here, I'll just phase and end up staying here anyway. So what Kitty does is she kneels on the ground, concentrates immensely, and basically phases a giant section of the Earth so that the planet's kind of opens up, becomes intangible all the way down to the magma layer, and she let the rod hit that. And Tony's response is, but that's impossible. And Kitty says, yeah, I know, that's probably why I feel so tired. So as the heroes start to gather their wits, Daredevil senses there's something else on the other side of the mansion. And when they head over there, there is a bespectacled man there in a white suit, with what looks to be 10 bodies laid around in a circle around some kind of device. Looks almost like a hologram projector of some sort. Daredevil remarks no heartbeat, and Nightcrawler says, well, maybe he's an android, or what is the term, LMD? And Daredevil says, no, not him, the people in the shrouds. And the man says, I apologize for the theatrics. The attack on the mansion was a distraction, basically, so I could set this up for you. My lady likes to put on a show. Kitty is not happy. She's like, 10 corpses on the X-Men front lawn is not a show. What is this? And the man responds, I'll let her explain. And we see a figure show up from that center of the 10 corpses. Indeed, that device we saw was a holographic projector. She says, I'm Persephone, and seems to know all of them. Iron Man, Daredevil, bevy of X-Men. It's an honor. And she again thanks them for saving the world so many times over, but then asks that they call off the search for Logan, because she says, yes, I have Logan. He's doing good work, and I'm behind everything else that you discovered. It's all Sotira, and Sotira is me. And Storm tells her she's a fool because the X-Men will stop her, whatever she's doing. And Persephone says, well, you think so? I suppose you could, but we haven't talked about our friends here yet. And she goes on to start introducing the corpses. They're all very young people, 16 years old, Antonio Fernandez, student from Barcelona, and talks about how each of them is special because they all possess the X gene, although none of them had manifested their powers yet. But in time, every last one of them would have been a mutant. The genetic database that Sotira was able to steal from Mr. Sinister told her who they were, along with tens and thousands more across the planet. She knows the name of every X-gene holder. She knows tomorrow's mutants. And if they want, she knows that they want answers, but if they want, if they try to stop her, they try to catch her, they try to get Logan back, she'll continue with murdering all the mutants, all the people who hold the X gene who will eventually become mutants. And she finishes by saying these 10 are just the beginning, as she fades out and the bespectacled man falls asleep, or falls to the ground rather. And Daredevil says, now he doesn't have a heartbeat either. He was dead the moment Persephone ended the transmission. So Tony wants to know if they can beat this. Don't they have a machine to notify mutants to track the X-gene? And Storm says no. Cerebro can only detect mutants who have already manifested their powers. Persephone chose her targets well. So Tony doesn't want to just take that for an answer. And he says, well, we'll think of something else. What are we going to do? And Kitty doesn't have an answer. Meanwhile, we see Persephone back at her headquarters saying that she thinks that went well. She was nervous. They're just so elite, Stark in particular. And she thinks that they'd understand what she was trying to do, but oh well. She says, I hope they get the message. I don't like killing children. And we get a snicket in the background. And Persephone says, oh, you didn't like that? I understand. Don't worry, Logan. This will all be over soon. And on the final page, we see Wolverine from behind. He's basically being suspended in midair by a couple of glowing cables wrapped around his wrist and then the same around his ankles. And we do see that his claws are popped and they're glowing. Because if you haven't heard, according to Charles Soule, who's writing the Return of Wolverine miniseries, when Logan comes back, his claws have the ability to heat up somehow. And it'll all be explained in Return of Wolverine number one. Because according to the blurb at the bottom of the page, this is all to be continued in the Return of Wolverine number one. So overall, I enjoyed this issue. It was a fun issue. It was cool to see, especially Kitty, be able to phase the ground itself and have that one tungsten missile phase into the ground and end up in the magma layer of the Earth's core. Really, really cool visual. And great to see just how powerful Kitty can be at times. It was also great to see Wolverine. He's back, and to see his claws glowing. The villain Persephone looks great visually. The art overall in this book is really, really strong, especially the color work. Great visuals, great storytelling from panel to panel, great line work, good emotion from the facial expression. So great job for everybody involved. And it's Charles Soule, so the dialogue's great. And again, just a really, really fun issue. If I have a problem with it, it's that it was kind of bad enough that we didn't get anywhere near what we thought we would with the Hunt for Wolverine miniseries, right? Like, no, we didn't really get Wolverine. We didn't really get any answers at all. It's just dragging the story out. So that was bad enough. And there were a lot of questions raised in those miniseries, more questions than answers. But being that this was kind of the bookend, this Hunt for Wolverine Dead Ends was kind of the bookend to the Hunt for Wolverine event, you were hoping that we'd get at least a few answers in this book, right? And then that would lead into the Return of Wolverine series, right? Still plenty to be answered. You know, we don't need to know exactly what happened and where Wolverine's been and how he was resurrected and all that. I understand that can be saved for the Return of Wolverine, but at least answer, like, okay, what was the device that was keeping the healing factor from working in that small town in Claws of the Killer? You know, what is Sotiera? What were they launching into space? What was the purpose of Mr. Sinister's database? And we got none of that. Not even did we not get answers. It's not even really brought up. You know, we get Kitty and Daredevil and Tony starting to think about, or trying to start putting pieces together and think about the clues they gathered. And then before they can even, you know, say, let's go look here next or let's go look there, we get the attack on the school with that. You know, and again, it's great action and it's really fun, but it changes the narrative of the story from them, you know, looking for clues, looking for answers, making a plan to having to be forced into action. And then we get this Persephone character who shows up, who, again, great character design. She looks really cool, menacing, and the fact that she can, you know, pick out these holders of the X gene before they even manifest their powers. She's kind of got the X-Men over a barrel. You know, all that's, again, interesting, but it totally derailed the narrative that I hoped was going to maybe give us some answers. So that's just kind of the, the problem with it, it just goes to the story structure of the way Marvel's doing it. It's nothing against the creative team here. And I wonder, there's only 5 issues of The Return of Wolverine. So I can't imagine that this is all going to get wrapped up in that series, right? With only 5 issues, and you're going to want to focus on Logan himself and him, you know, trying to break free, or, you know, how did he get the hot claws and all that kind of stuff. So this seems like a much bigger story than that. And I'm just not sure where we're going to get our answers. So it just seems like the whole Hunt for Wolverine event really dredged up more questions than answers. And I really was hoping to get some resolution in this issue, but instead we really just got more questions. Like, so who is Persephone and what exactly is she planning? And where does the story go from here? So, you know, like I said, I did enjoy it more than I didn't. It is a little frustrating to have more questions piled on the questions I already had rather than any kind of resolution. But, you know, I was already planning on reading the Return of Wolverine event, and this just makes me want to read it that much more. So I guess in that way it was successful. That's probably what, you know, Marvel wanted. And again, it's a beautiful looking issue with it's well paced, great dialogue, great art, great colors. So it really is a fun issue, but like I said, I just wish we got a few more answers. But I'm honestly glad the Hunt for Wolverine event is over. I'm definitely ready for the Return of Wolverine event and hopefully get at least a few answers to some of our questions. I do wish it wasn't just one issue a month though, because now it's going to take another 5 months to get some answers. But I'm really trying to dive back into the X-Men universe, and what I'm hoping is that we might start seeing some answers to some of these other questions in the regular X-Men books. So I guess it's a wait and see at this point to find out if that's what we're going to see after the extermination event is over and things get a little cleaned up, because it feels like that's the direction that the X universe is heading in. So as always, I want to thank everybody for joining. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all the past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, be sure to check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All 3 spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. The next show I'll be at is Long Beach Comic Con in Long Beach, California on September 8th. I think I'm just going to be there Saturday, possibly just early in the day on Sunday, but I will be there all day Saturday. So hope to see you there. And once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.